If you would turn to Acts 16, I'm going to run you around a little bit. I'd rather work in a text, it's easier, but I'm going to try to cover a subject this evening. Look at Acts chapter 16. Now what we're going to do, I'm going to quote a text out of the book of Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10 at the beginning. And in Nehemiah 8 and verse 10, it says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Let me say it one more time. Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I think that's an important thing to understand with regard to joy. You're stronger when you're joyful. Have you ever noticed it? You have more vigor, you have more strength, you have more enthusiasm when you have what? When you have the joy of the Lord. Now, we have the ability to choose to do that really every day of our life, don't we? We should choose every day of our life to have the joy of the Lord. And when we're like that, that's our strength. The problem is, it's hard to maintain your joy. Do you think? It's very hard at times to maintain your joy. Sometimes my joy meter is all the way up here. I mean, where's your joy meter at tonight? I mean, sometimes it's up here and you're happy and everything's great. You feel close to the Lord. Then other times your joy meter is all the way down here at the bottom. The joy of the Lord is our strength. If we lose our joy, we lose our what? We lose our strength. So how do we do this? What do we do? I'm going to give you tonight five keys to maintaining joy. We all know that we need to have a joyful life and we need the joy in the Lord. But how to maintain it? How to make it a way of life? And that's what I'm going to deal with tonight. Now here in the book of Acts, chapter 16, the Apostle Paul, let's look at, let's begin at verse 19 and I'll read down through this a little bit. It said, "And when her masters saw the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas, and they drew him into the marketplace and to the rulers. And they brought them to the magistrates, saying, 'These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither observe being Romans.' And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded them to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks." Now you look at what they just now went through. They came there to present the gospel. They came there to tell people about the Lord, you know. They were on a good mission here. But what happens? They get arrested, and they get beaten. It says they rent off their clothes, and then they beat them. And they laid many stripes upon them. I mean, look at all that they went through here at this particular place. How would you respond to that? I mean, you just think, I mean, I respond bad to things at times, do you? I mean, this is a very difficult task. I mean, they're here after all. They're serving the Master, ain't they? They're here for a good reason. They're seeking souls here. Well, they go through a tremendous trial here. Stripes, thrown in jail, put into inner prison. I mean, look at, you know, the inner prison was pitch black. You remember they had to call for someone to bring a light? When you put someone in the inner prison, they were usually in nothing but darkness. This is the condition that they were in. How would you respond? How would you respond to all of that? A whipping, beaten, and then put in stocks. Now, I don't know if it was just the feet stocks or both stocks, but either way, it'd be pretty miserable, wouldn't it? I've said this before, and I'm sure you have too. It says at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard him. I figure, if I would have been Silas with Paul, I figure he'd have been singing a solo, don't you? I don't imagine I'd have felt much like singing after getting a beating like this. What I want you to see, first of all, tonight, they chose joy. That's what they chose. We choose joy when we feel like it. They went through such a difficult circumstance, they didn't know whether they was going to live nor die. But look, at midnight, they prayed, and then they sang praises unto God. And all the prisoners heard them. I can't imagine going through all of that and responding that way. God gave them a tremendous grace here, didn't He? This wasn't man-made strength. This was God's strength that they had. So they're singing praises. And you notice the prisoners heard them. I mean, what a great testimony that is, that in such a situation as this, they didn't know whether they was going to live or die. They didn't know exactly what God was going to do. Yet, at the same time, they praised the Lord. They praised Him. They chose what? They chose joy. They sang praises to the Lord, and all the prisoners heard them. That was a tremendous testimony for them prisoners to hear that. What's wrong with these Jews? What's wrong with these people? They're singing. It didn't break their spirit. They continued to serve the Lord. They couldn't get out and preach right now, but they could sing. And that's what they did. They could pray and they sang praises to Him. They had been falsely accused in verse 20. They had their clothing rent off. They had many stripes laid on them. They were in the inner prison, and they were in stocks, and it was dark. And they sang praises to the Lord. I think that's a tremendous thing, don't you? That was their response to this mistreatment. You know what Paul was doing right here? He's practicing what he preached. You know what he says in Philippians 4 and verse 4? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord how often? Always. You got to choose to do that every day of your life. There's always a reason to praise if you're born again. There's always a reason to praise if you're saved. You just got to choose to do it. I mean, look what all they went through and still sang praises and was a good testimony. Well, we should be able to do the exact same thing. I seen this in real life one time. I don't know if I told you this. I probably did. But I seen a lady one time that went to my church, and she had cancer horribly. I mean, it was leaking out of her ankles. I've never seen anybody in the shape that this woman was in. And she was dying, and she knew it, and she was a godly woman. I loved her. Her name was Linda Scantlin, was her name. And me and my wife went down to see her and her husband. So we went down there, and that hospice was there, and they said, well, it's not going to be real long. I mean, because of the way she was and the way she was doing. I've never seen anything like this before. Yeah, I mean, when it was happening, I'm like, I'm dreaming. I ain't really seeing this. But what she did, she liked Debbie better than me, I think. And she hollered for Debbie. I don't know why she didn't holler for her pastor, but she hollered for Debbie. And she got a hold of Debbie's arms like this and pulled her down in her face. And she said this, tired. Then she said, home. And then she said, glory. And she put the biggest smile on her face that I ever saw. She was happy. And then she did something that blowed everybody's mind. She sang Amazing Grace. She started singing. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind. Sung two verses of it. Well, I thought surely that would be it. Then you know what she did? She sung, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon His face, the one that saved me by His grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glory. She sung both stanzas of that song. It blew me away. Have you ever been in a situation like that where you're looking at something, you're thinking, this ain't happening? Because it couldn't have. She didn't have no breath to do it, but the Lord gave her the breath to do so. You know what she chose? She chose praise. And that was an awesome thing. That was an awesome thing to behold. Her family was there. Some of her lost family members were there. And they got to see all of that. That's one of the greatest things that I ever saw. You must choose what? Joy. You must choose joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. We're going to go through things at times in our life. But though we go through things, we have always something to be thankful for when we're born again. We always have a reason to praise when we're born again. Talk about two meters right here. A joy meter and a complain meter. Which one of those meters goes the highest every day of your life? If your joy meter is higher than your complain meter, you'll have a pretty good day, wouldn't you? You can choose to do that every day. We must choose to do that every day. We got reasons to praise. We get sad a lot, I guess, and I do too at times, but we got all kinds of reason to praise. And we need to count those things and the blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. And it lifts it up. And we got to choose that. You must choose that every day of your life. Should you praise even when you don't feel like it? Well, yeah, sometimes I don't feel like it. Sometimes I'm agitated. Sometimes I don't feel good. But we should still choose to praise Him. And when you praise Him, you know what it'll do for you? That praise meter will go up. And you'll be a better example to other people. And it'll strengthen your spirit too. Number two. Let's turn to the book of Ezra now, chapter 3. I'm not going to be real windy. Got my little granddaughter's Bible marker. See that? I wouldn't take a farm in Georgia for that right there. Yeah, she made me that. Now, she didn't get this beam out far enough, but Edda, I still love it anyhow. We're studying tonight how to maintain joy. We know we should have the joy of the Lord, right? The joy of the Lord is our what again? It's our strength. What I said, first of all, we must choose to do it every day of our life. Make a decision to do that. I'm not going to complain all day. I'm going to rejoice in my Lord today. We should do it every day of our life. Number two, in the book of Ezra chapter 3, I thought this was pretty good. It says let's go ahead and begin at verse 10. Let me move over. And when the builders had laid the foundation of the temple, this is Cyrus had sent them back into the land, and they rebuild the temple first. Then in the book of Nehemiah, they rebuild the wall. But here in Ezra 3, they're rebuilding the temple. So they laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord. And they set the priests in the apparel with the trumpets and the Levites and the sons of Asaph with cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David. And they sang together by chorus, in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because He is good, for His mercy endures forever towards Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout. They're happy. They're back in their land. They're rebuilding the temple. Great things are happening. Verse 12. But. I mean, they're happy. They're rejoicing in the Lord. They're back in their land. They done laid the foundation for the temple. It says, but many of the priests and Levites and the chief of the fathers, the ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, what did they do? They wept with a loud voice. And many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of the joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a great shout. Said it was the ancient men. Beloved, you'll never be happy in the present living in the past. just will never, it just doesn't work. People live too much in the what? In the past, back in the good old days. There was reasons to praise here. Do y'all agree? There was reasons to pray. They sent them back to the land. God worked that out. They're back in their home country. They're laying the foundation for the temple. And in the book of Nehemiah, they had rebuilt the wall. Things were going great. But these ancient men were too busy living in the past to enjoy their present. You'll never be happy living in the past. Enjoy the memories of the past, but don't live there. You can have the joy, you can have joy in your life right now, but you got to choose to do it. And number two, you can't live in the past all the time. The good old days. Every day can be a good old day for you if you choose to. You choose to count your blessings. You don't live in the past. I look forward to, I'm happy now. I'm happy now and I want to be, I assume I'll be happy in the future. We got many things, beloved, to be thankful for. We used to always say, count your what? Count your blessings. It used to always make me mad when someone would come in church. You know, the Lord's been good to me today. The Lord's been good to you every day. There's a reason to praise Him every day. And if you would, and you do, it raises you up. And that joy meter goes up. And when your joy meter goes up, the joy of the Lord is your what? You're stronger. It makes you stronger. More fun to be around, too. Little ones used to always sing a song about count your blessings. You ever do it? When I pray, I take prayer walks. But when I pray, I like to walk and then I think about what all the Lord's done for me. And so I walk out of Holla, Plymouth Holla. I walk out through there and I'll be talking to the Lord and praying. And the tears will start running sometimes. I get some embarrassed, then a hunter will walk out and say, what are you crying about, you know? But I get all worked up over it. I love to think about what He's been so good to us. He's just been so good to us. Every day of my life, I try to pray the Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all His benefits. He forgiveth all thine iniquities, healeth all thy diseases. He redeems your life from destruction. He satisfies your mouth with good things. And He crowneth you with loving kindnesses and tender mercies. I try to pray that every day of my life. You know why I do it? It gets my focus up. These benefits in Psalms 103 are priceless. You can't put a price tag on it. If you have those things, you got a reason to praise Him every day. And if you choose to do so, your praise meter goes up, your joy meter goes up, and you're a whole lot happier than you might have been before. Number three, we're looking at how to maintain your joy. The first way is you got to choose joy. You choose it. I've done it before. I said, I'm not going to wallow around today in self-pity. I'm not going to be sad today. I'm going to seek to praise my Lord. And that's what I do. That's what I try to do. So you must choose joy. Number two, you must not live in the past. I first met Elizabeth. That's all you ever heard of how great it used to be. Then I thought, yep, till I came. How great it used to be. Well, Lord's able to do great things now. And God has a purpose. And God has a plan. And we got to trust Him in both of those things. So you choose joy and you must not live where at. Don't live in the past. Don't live in it. Be thankful for the past, but just don't stay there. Live in the present. Number three. Psalms 55:22. You don't have to turn to it. That's why I wrote them down so I could move fast. It says, cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and He will sustain you. He'll give you strength. 1 Peter 5 says basically the same exact thing. What do you do with your cares? Has anybody got any cares here tonight? You got anything that's weighting you down? You got anything that you're worried about? You got anything that you're concerned about? Do you got anything that when you lay down at night, it keeps you up? You ever have that happen? You lay down at night and it just keeps you up. Do you got anything like that? Well, the Lord don't want you to carry your cares. He wants you to cast your cares. I mean, you can carry them if you want. I ain't never seen anybody that was happy carrying burdens. It don't make you joyful. What are you supposed to do with your cares and burdens? You're supposed to give them to the Lord. Years ago, I used to work with my father-in-law, Debbie's dad. Boy, he's meaner than whalebone. But I worked with him, and I was the smartest man on the job. And that's why they had me carry shingles every time we roofed the house. You ever carry shingles? It's fun to do that. Shingles. I said, what do you want me to do? You're carrying the shingles. I said, all right. So that's what I did. I mean, up that ladder forever, across the roof and lay it down, you know. Well, after a while, I guess he got to where he liked me a little bit better. And what was always great is if you had a roof man. You know what a roof man is? The hardest part of a shingle, y'all really need to know this, don't you? Hardest part when you're carrying shingles is when you get to the top of the ladder, and you know how rickety a ladder can be, is then you make that step, that transition onto the roof. You know, because that's when it's kind of wobbly. That's where you, if you're going to fall, that's usually where you fall at. Okay? Well, you know what's good to have when you get there? A roof man. It's good to have a roof man. Because then when you get to the top, here's all you gotta do. You roll that bundle on the roof man. And then down that ladder you come. Yeah, you don't worry about falling then, and then you don't worry about tripping or anything of that, rolling off the roof or anything like that. You say, why in the world would you tell a story like that? Because you need to roll your burdens on your roof man. You got the best roof man they are. Now, if you carry a care over time, it'll make you sick. It'll take your sleep away, and it'll suck your joy meter down. You got cares. Man, there's a lot of cares in the ministry. Y'all agree? There's a lot of cares sometimes in churches. There's a lot of cares in families. What do? You throw those cares on your roof man. He can handle it. That's what he wants you to do. You can carry it if you'd like, I guess, but what good does that do? It just make you sick over time. Rob you of your sleep and things. Don't carry them. Cast them. Sometimes there's things, some cares that enter our life that we just don't understand why they happen. You ever have anything happen that you don't understand why it happened? You ever have anything like that? You don't understand why it happened or what the purpose of it is. So people ask me, Pastor, what do you think the purpose of this is? Well, I don't know what the purpose is. I don't know what the mind of God is in this thing, but you know something I know? I know that all things work together for the good to them that love God. To them who are the called according to His purpose. And the things that happen in my life that don't make no sense and that I don't understand, I throw it under that. I put it under God's sovereignty. Knowing that He knows what He's doing and He's going to work good out of it some way. And until I understand it, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to put my confidence in Him. Well, that's three, isn't it? We're talking about maintaining our joy. Our joy does this constantly. That's what it is. We want to maintain it. Well, you must choose to do it. You must choose to do it. I know it sounds oversimplified, but hey, I'm not going to wallow in this thing. I'm going to rejoice in my Lord. Choose to do it. I'm not going to live in the past. Just not going to do it. I want to live in the now. I want to serve now. I don't want to look back and talk about the good old days and all those kinds of things. I'm thankful for things that happened in the past. I don't want to live in the now. Never be happy in the present, living in the past. You must not carry cares. What else must you do? You must cast them. Doesn't do any good to carry them. You got someone that will carry them for you. And cast your burdens upon Him. Okay? Number four. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not to your own understanding. Let me ask you a question. How's that leaning thing work for you? Makes you worse, doesn't it? There's things that happen in your life, like I've already said, that you don't understand, that don't make sense. Don't make no sense at all. My dad's here tonight, and I'm glad that he's here. Pop, you've had dialysis for 8 years. 8 years my dad's had dialysis. They give him 6 months to live 8 years ago. Right back there he sits. The Lord's preserved his life in a tremendous way. They just say, well, I don't understand it. And I understand it. The Lord's in charge of all these things. He's in control of all these things. God has a purpose. Why did it have to happen to us? God has a purpose. You just trust what it says. You trust His sovereignty. And you know what? One of these days, when He gives you all the information, it'll all make perfect sense. But until it happens, what do? You trust in the Lord with all your heart. And you don't lean to your own understanding at all. It's a glorious thing. You choose joy. You must not live in the past. You be thankful for the past, but live in the now. Don't pine for the good old days all the time. You'll waste your time. Number three, you must not carry cares. You must cast them. Number four, you must not lean to your own understanding. I just got one more. I want you to turn to Luke 10. This will be the last one. I quoted a lot just so I could, wouldn't be too windy. Kenny gets mad if I'm too windy. This is the last one. And this is what it is. You must spend time with Jesus. I'm showing you how to maintain your joy. And the last one here is you must spend time with Jesus. How often? Daily. You got to choose to do that every day. Time spent with the Lord is time well spent. I want you to see this, and I want you to look at Luke 10 and verse 38. Now, it came to pass as they went, and he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received her into his house. And she had a sister called Mary, which sat at his feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered. She wasn't happy, was she? She was irritated. Arthur was cumbered about much serving. She was trying to, you know how women are about dinners and things. She wanted, especially if the master was there. And he usually brought 12 friends with him when he come. She wanted to be good. She wanted to be right. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving. I mean, here the King of Glory was in her house at her table. And she wasn't enjoying his presence. Think about it. And notice how irritated she is. Notice she says, but Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care? She's even irritated at the Lord, isn't she? Don't you care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. What was Mary doing? I've heard people tell me before, well, she wasn't doing nothing. She was worshiping. She was sitting at Jesus' feet listening to His Word. She was spending time with Jesus. Time spent with Jesus is the best way you can spend time. She chose to do that. Her priority was listening to Jesus. Sitting at His feet, listening to Him teach the Scriptures. And she was just taking it in. Martha didn't choose that. Dinner, activity, she was aggravated. Does she seem like she's happy here? She's mad at everybody. She even told the Lord, "Don't you care that she's left me to serve alone?" She's just mad at everybody. What's her problem? She didn't spend... Right there, the King of Glory was sitting at her table. And she wasn't enjoying His presence. Now, we don't do that. Isn't that wonderful that we don't ever do that? We have opportunities to do that daily. There's no question on His part. Listen. There's no question on His part that He wants to spend time with His child. The only thing holding that up is you. There's no question. I got grandbabies, of course. I've done mentioned it twice, Dana, but I got grandbabies, and they're in Arizona, and that's where my son is. I don't want no money from them, or I don't want, you know, things, or I don't want them to send me a code. I don't want them to do anything. I want them to keep their money. I want their time. See what I mean? I want their what? I want their time. I want to be able to touch them and hug on them and make them mean, you know. I'm just kidding you. I just want to be with them, you know. That's what our Father wants. That's what our Master wants. You're His child. He loves you dearly. Paid a great price for you. He wants you. He wants your time. He wants you to spend time with Him. He wants you to pray. He wants you to spend time in His book that He give you. That's His Word, isn't it? He give you a house to come to where you could hear preaching and teaching. It's what He's done. And we got free access to His throne anytime we want to talk to Him. We need to take advantage of all these kinds of things. Mary chose that. That's what Mary chose. Which one was the happiest, you think? Was Mary the happiest or was Martha the happiest? Who was cumbered the most? Who was the most irritated? What was her problem? She was so busy serving that she didn't have time to enjoy Jesus. That's exactly what it was. We get the same way, don't we? Just a little different way, but we get the same way. God wants us to spend time with Him. God wants us to spend time with Him. These are ways that you maintain your joy. There's other things you could add, but this is what we all need to do. If every one of us did these things, I think in the long run, we'd have happier lives. We'd be better servants. Burdens would be casted. We'd be closer to the Lord. The closer you get to Jesus, the happier you'll be when you're saved. The farther you drift from the Lord, the more miserable you'll become. You need to do these things. That's why they're so important. Let me close. I'm closing. Promise you. Here's my outline. You must choose joy. Choose it. Number two, you don't live in the past. Live in the now. Be thankful for what the Lord does now. Be thankful for the past, but don't live there. Don't carry your cares. Throw them on your roof, man. You got the best roof man in the world. You can carry him, but what good does it do? Number four, you must not lean to your own understanding. When things happen in your life you don't understand, what do? You trust Him. You throw it under Romans 8:28. When you get all the information from the Lord, it'll make perfect sense. And until you get there, trust Him. That's what he wants you to do. And last of all, this is, you must spend time with the Lord. Spend time with Him. That'll keep your focus up. Five keys to maintaining joy. May God have His blessings.